Randy Newman never considered himself a rock star. He's had his hits, I Love L.A., Short People, but he may be better known for his work in TV and movies and in film scores. In 2001, he won an Academy Award for Best Original Song for this tune from Monsters, Incorporated.
If I were a rich man with a million or two, I lived in a penthouse in a room with a view. And if I were handsome, it could happen, 'cause dreams do come true. I wouldn't have nothing if I didn't have you. Wouldn't have nothing if I didn't have. Wouldn't have nothing if I didn't have. Wouldn't have nothing.
Randy Newman also owns a flock of Grammys and Emmys among his many awards. A couple of months ago, he got a call saying he'd be inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. He was shocked. He told Rolling Stone, "I really thought maybe I'd have to die first." Happily, he's alive and in our studio at NPR West in Culver City. We have an email challenge that expires in 5 minutes. Tell us your favorite Randy Newman song and why. We'll play the top vote-getter at the end of the show. 800-989-8... No, the address is talk@npr.org, or you can tweet your nominee at TOTN. And Randy Newman, congratulations.
Well, thank you very much, Neil. I'm happy to be on the show. I like it very much.
Oh, thanks very much. You don't have a favorite of your songs, do you?
No, not really. There's ones I like particularly, but I change my mind occasionally. I don't look back too much, but there's things I like. I usually like recent things, you know, so just to reassure myself I'm not decaying too badly.
We always hear from poets about how they go back and revise and revise and revise. Even after it's published, it's never set. Do you ever go back and tinker?
No. Occasionally, I'll try and fix something, but usually if they're broken, they stay broken. I don't succeed. Sometimes you can ruin things by revising. I'm not so sure that I'm a deep thinker. You know, I mean, there are things that I'll work very hard on, but a lot of the things that I write are flashes. You know, I'll sit there for hours. But things will come very quickly sometimes when I'm relaxed or not thinking about it. I know there's research on the brain now that's showing that you do better if you get away from things and if you don't grind. And there may be some truth in that. I'm not even – I'd like to mention my name in the same sentence with Beethoven for a moment. I'm not even sure with Beethoven, who was famous for – going over things and fixing and changing things, that some of that stuff that's really strange stuff in the late quartets and stuff, that isn't just flashes of sort of brilliance rather than figuring it out what he was going to do. It just doesn't seem – I think a lot of creativity may be come like that.
You say flashes. It's once you've had that idea, the rest of it's just, I assume, hard work to sit down and actually set it out.
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes it is. Sometimes you can see to the end of things right at the beginning. And then there are things that don't work, and then you have to fix it right. But sometimes revision can hurt things a little bit. I've been doing it too much lately. In this movie I just did, I was doing things 4 or 5 different ways until I had no time to do that.
Deadlines are good that way, yeah.
Yeah, and there was a lot less stuff being thrown away. And the first one, a lot of times, was just as good as what I did the fourth time. So
I wanted to ask you about that movie stuff. Of course, your uncles famously scored about half the movies in Hollywood in their day.
I did a lot of them.
Yeah, and you've gone into the family business. Is that what you intended to do?
When I was a kid, I thought maybe I'd do that. It didn't look easy by any stretch of the imagination, and it's not. It looked like a job that someone was doing. I could see it. You know, I knew I wasn't going to be a doctor like my father. And I had some talent for music as a kid, they told me. And so I thought that maybe I would do that. And so ultimately I did. I studied, you know, to do it. Mm-hmm. And there are great things about it. There are things about it. Having a boss the way you do in that field is a little alien to my upbringing and the way I, you know, grew up writing songs that no one told me what to do and making records and no one told me what to do. And then you get it, do a movie and there are people telling you what to do. And sometimes they're the film editor's wife, you know, so it can be difficult.
We're talking with Randy Newman, and our email challenge, well, the deadline has expired. We're going to count the votes, and at the end of this segment, we'll play the favorite voted by our listeners.
I bet it'll be You Got a Friend.
Maybe you could.
Maybe your listeners, maybe it'll be different. I don't know.
A
lot of children listen.
We'll find out. Yeah. I would have voted for Political Science myself. But
yeah, what would I voted for? Harps and Angels.
Here's an email from Dean. It's hard to pick my favorite Randy Newman song. If forced to, I'd have to pick I Think It's Going to Rain Today. Powerful lyrics, a haunting melody covered by almost 100 top artists. I think my favorite versions are Judy Collins and Randy himself. Even Leonard Nimoy covered it. I think that's the first of your songs I was ever aware of in the Judy Collins version.
Yeah, I think a lot. That is the first song that people were widely aware of, I think. She did a very nice job on it, too.
And was that one of those that came in a flash? Or do you remember?
I don't remember. It's sort of an atypical song for me. It's sort of more abstract than I usually write. I'm always a little depressed when I'm writing, and it sort of came out in that song. A lot of them are, I think a lot of the songs sound like they're meant to cheer me up. They're comedic much more than most people who write songs in this, you know, rock and roll songs. They're mostly fairly serious. Mine are, you know, 70% of them are meant to get a laugh, easy 70%. And that one is a young man song, you know, a young man kind of depression somehow. Don't ask me to explain that. I don't think I can, but.
Here's one of those funny ones, at least I think so. I've been a Randy Newman fan for 69 years, and my tall daughter insisted that the father-daughter dance at her wedding be to Randy's Short People. I've never heard what his inspiration for that was.
I needed an up song for the album, and I was playing, and that's what I did. And that's what came out. There was no... You know, it was played in places that usually I wasn't played, you know, on top 40 radio. So they would ask me and they'd say, it's about prejudice, isn't it? And I'd say, yeah, it is. But it wasn't. It was the guy was nuts. He had some kind of an odd sort of mania that I didn't think anyone had. And they don't, basically. But I didn't know how sensitive some people were about it. I'm not... Sorry that I wrote it, but I wasn't sensitive to the fact that people were fairly sensitive about that subject. And I did think if I were in junior high school and people, here's your song, it would hurt maybe a little bit. Mm-hmm. But, you know.
There's a fair number of your songs that are like that, where you put yourself in the head of some nut and, you know, you could leave your hat on, that sort of thing.
Yeah, you could leave your hat on. The guy is just—I always thought of him as a fairly weak fellow. Sound like, and to me, that I would have thought the girl could break him in half. He's not asking much. You know, Joe Cocker and Tom Jones had hits with it, and they did it, you know, about higher than I did and louder, as if it were a real sexual kind of thing. I could have done it. I just didn't think of it. But I thought of it as, you know, it's not very.
Here's a tweet from C.T. Concord. I discovered Randy Newman when I heard Great Nations of Europe as bumper music on NPR, and now I own every record.
Wow, that's nice to hear.
I didn't say he bought every record.
No, that's all right. I mean, no one buys anything now.
Mm. Here's an email we have from Donna in Rochester. Anything in the Toy Story movies, beautifully written and performed, sentimental, not sappy, perfect to stand alone or to complement the movies. Awesome.
It's nice.
And do you write differently when you're writing a song for a movie?
Yes. It's as close as I get to the middle of the road. Because, I mean, I'm writing for, you know, I would never write You Got a Friend in Me. That was what it was supposed to be. Yeah, they wanted to emphasize the friendship between Woody and Andy.
Mm-hmm.
And so you got a friend, you got a friend, you got a friend in me. There it was. I mean, I would sound like a used car salesman if I wrote that for myself. And I would write it for a used car salesman, maybe, with that in mind. But I'm glad that I get a chance to get out of my usual style to write things like that. They're not the things that interest me most necessarily, but that's probably will be the most popular song I write. Michael Bublé just did it, you know. So, I mean, that's as close as I get to the mainstream.
Is your process different writing those? Is it that same?
Yeah, it's a lot easier for me.
Yeah,
because the lyric set up what I have to say. It's not picked out of the air. It's an assignment, and I can do that more easily.
We're talking with Randy Newman after his induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. You're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And this is another one of our voters. This is Eric. I think Randy Newman's best song is You've Got a Friend in Me. I'm 22. I first heard Randy Newman on Toy Story. I think that song is now famous with my generation. Congrats. And thank you for NPR for having such great guests. So, well, thank you very much for that. This from Paula in Jacksonville, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. They're trying to wash us away. I wasn't there during Katrina, but I was there during Andrew, which had been going mm-hmm. to make a beeline for Lake Charles when I and my family were living there. My husband was working for KPLC. And everybody had to stay overnight because we were expecting this hurricane. As we all know, he trashed the tip of Florida and did a pretty good number on New Orleans and Baton Rouge. My daughter, who had just moved into her freshman room at LSU, sat in the dark and listened to the howling winds for hours. Then LSU canceled classes for the next week. And a week after I'd settled into her dorm room, I had to drive to Baton Rouge and bring her home. By the time Katrina came, I was in Florida. My daughter had gotten her PhD from Pitt, but she had lots of friends in New Orleans, Baton Rouge, and Lake Charles, which got nailed by Rita, and she was worried sick about how they were doing. And that, again, a song where you're addressing a specific idea.
Mm-hmm.
And did that come in a flash?
That came, I read a biography of Huey Long. I had an aunt who worked for Long, and they talked about it. My mother's from New Orleans, and her family's still down. What it was left of her family is still down. We're quite a bit, really. The number of them are still around. Still in New Orleans. And my cousin lost her, ended up losing a house in Katrina. And I wrote it about they talk about the flood in 1927. And I read a book about that flood, too. And it was a big deal. I mean, it sort of ended the cotton business for a while, I mean, completely. And the workers migrated north in tremendous amounts. It was a giant historical event. And I wanted to write a song about North and South again. I've written a number of them. About the guy in the song sort of complains about the whole treatment, you know, not quite trusting the president coming down and you know, and the kind of, you know, I have the clouds coming in from the north, which they really never do. I mean, really, as if the north had sent these clouds
down.
I
see, yes,
yeah. They never come that way.
Yankee clouds. Yeah.
Yeah, they're Yankee clouds, and they come from, and the president comes from the north with a little fat guy and writing it down. It's that, and you know, it's been there forever, and it's still there. It's not quite a separate country, but it's close sometimes.
Here's an email. This is from Blake. Sail Away is his favorite. This is a beautiful song, a soulful song, a deeply thoughtful song that remains one of the most incisive commentaries on race and society in the United States.
Well, that's very nice.
And
thank you.
I said Short People wasn't about that. This one was?
Well, it is. I wrote about the slave trade from the view of a recruiter for the slave trade. He's taking, you know, Come to America, and he talks about this and that. And I didn't see another way to do it. I mean, you can say the slave trade is bad, horrendous, our great crime of the nation. But I chose to do it differently.
Yeah, in America, every man is free to stay home with his wife and his family.
Yeah, you don't have to run through the jungle and scuff up your feet. And, you know, he's telling him how great it's going to be.
Well, we have the results of our balloting. Number five, Friend in Me. Number four was
Rednecks.
Rednecks, yes. Number three, You Can Leave Your Hat On. Number two was Short People in a Tie with Louisiana. But the number one winner was Political Science. I swear
right.
I didn't stuff the ballot box.
Yeah, Washington, D.C., there you go.
There you go. Well, we, as promised, are going to play a pretty good chunk of it. Randy Newman, congratulations again on your induction into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. Do you get a visit there and see do they have a bust or something?
Yeah, my daughter goes to school near there, so I certainly will, yeah.
Well, thanks again for being with us.
Well, thank you, Neil. It's a great pleasure. Like I said, I enjoy the show very much.
Thank you very much for that.
Okay.
The induction ceremony airs on HBO on May 18th. Randy Newman joined us today from our bureau in Culver City. Tomorrow, Buzz Aldrin is here, and we leave you with this Randy Newman favorite. This is Talk of the Nation from NPR News. I'm Neil Conan in Washington.
South America stole our name. Let's drop the big one. There'll be no one left to blame us. We'll save Australia. Don't want to hurt no kangaroo. We'll build an all-American amusement park there. They got surfing too. Boom goes London, boom Paris. More room for you and more room for me. In every city, the whole world round, will just be another American town. Oh, how peaceful it will be. We'll set everybody free. You wear a Japanese kimono, paint to be Italian shoes to me. They all hate us anyhow. So let's drop the big one now. Let's drop the big one.